Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update. Hi, this is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church, inviting you to come on out this Sunday to visit us. If you've listened to this program for any length of time, Bob Enyart Live in this segment on KLTT Radio, 670 AM in Denver, or on the web at KGOV.com, you know that for the first 5 minutes, we talk about the Bible. We do sermon excerpts from Denver Bible Church. We talk about what our church has to offer. It's a small church. We have usually about 60 to 70 people at the services. We were planted by a Bible church across town, Derby Bible Church, back in the year 2000, with about 30 people. And so we've about doubled to 60 or 70 people. There's over a dozen families, and it's a place where you could come with your kids and feel safe and protected from, of course, the destructive influences of the world around us. And it's a place where, well, we put extra special attention into our kids and our families and the protections that should be there, the hedges, the wall of protection that we should be instructed as to how to build a protection around your marriage and around your children. For example, if a family comes to Denver Bible Church and they send their kids to public school, well, we will talk to the parents and let them know that the public school is a godless education system. And while there are some Christian teachers in the public school system, that those Christian teachers cannot really stem the tide of millions of young people whose lives are being ruined by the godless education they receive. They help a handful of kids here and there, but millions of kids are turned out of the system to disrespect their parents, reject authority, reject traditional morality, think that a Christian is out of touch, and that homosexuality and abortion and evolution are the norms and should be promoted. And so at Denver Bible Church, it's not just come on through the doors and sit and let's feel good worshiping God and pass the collection plate around. We take this, as many churches do, but we take this responsibility very seriously that we are going to influence the people in our church, and that the people in our church are going to influence us. And so if we want you to know up front, if your kids go to public school, and I'm only using that as an example. That's an example. If your kids go to public school, then we're going to talk with you about that destructive influence. And just imagine if you lived in Old Testament times. Let's say the prophet Samuel, maybe Elijah was around, and you decided to send your kids to a Canaanite school, and you put your kids on the chariot each morning to go off to the Canaanite school, and God had told the Israelites not to mingle with the pagans. And you not only were going to disobey that, but you were going to let the pagans educate your children. Wow. What a stark illustration of what has become acceptable in the Christian community to allow a godless system to rear and educate our children from the youngest of ages. Not only from kindergarten and first grade, but even preschool. And so we've abdicated our responsibility to educate our children, and so many of us have given that over to a godless system. So at Denver Bible Church, we invite you to come on out, and you will be challenged, and you will be cared for. We care about you and your family. So now stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Service with the weak and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry,
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. This morning, about, was it 5:30 in the morning, I headed out to Lutheran Hospital, Exempla Lutheran. And I had to get an MRI for my arm, my right arm, which has been tingling for about 7 weeks now, from my fingertips up to my shoulder. And I talked to the doctor in the department, and he, neat guy, he said that he's a conservative, doesn't like the public schools, sent his kids to private schools, religious schools, and that his kids are doing well, and he listens to talk radio, so I invited him to tune into the show. And Doc, if you're listening, welcome to the program. And I mentioned a name to the doctor, the name of the inventor of the MRI, Raymond Demadian. And you could look up on the web Raymond Demadian's role in the MRI, and he is a... He not only discovered the principles behind magnetic resonance imaging, but he also got a U.S. patent. And the Nobel Prize was issued this year for the MRI to two other scientists who refined his invention. And so it's interesting that now this morning, I went early this morning to get an MRI for my arm, which something's been wrong with my arm for a month or two. And the Christian man who invented the principles and the first magnetic resonating machine, he got a U.S. patent for it, Raymond Demadian, was excluded this year when it came time to award a Nobel Prize for MRI. Two other scientists were given the prize, but not the Christian, who's the one who got the first U.S. patent and who, without any doubt, gave that idea to the world. So I wonder if there's any bias against the Christian inventor of the MRI, even at the levels of the Nobel Prize committee. So you know who would be... You know who right now is an expert on this topic? I wish he were around so I could ask him. Rush Limbaugh's brother, David Limbaugh, just wrote a book, a great book, in fact, called Persecution, How Liberals Are Waging War Against Christianity. And if he were here, oh, wait a minute, he is here. Mr. Limbaugh, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
It's great to have you on the show. And David, thank you for writing such an excellent book on how liberals are waging war against Christianity. It is a great book.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, too.
You're welcome. David, this morning I went to our Lutheran Hospital here in Denver early for an MRI, and I talked to the doctor who was giving me the test, and the Nobel Prize for the MRI went out this year to two scientists, but they excluded the guy who got the first U.S. patent, Raymond Demadian, who is a celebrated Christian creationist Bible believer.
Why'd they exclude him?
Well, he's taken out full-page ads in three of our largest newspapers saying this was a terrible wrong that's been done. And we don't know, but I tend to think, and I might be a bit paranoid, but his name is often used by Christian groups like Ken Ham's Answers in Genesis to point to a brilliant scientist who believes in the Bible.
You know, I'm familiar with Ken Ham. He's a great guy. I've spoken with him at Worldview Weekend conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is going on. I mean, people think that we're making a bunch of stuff up. David Hager was appointed to the FDA, and because of his outspoken Christian views, his work against the RU-486 abortion pill, he was lambasted by the liberalist secular establishment and had a very difficult time. Remember that appointment that David Hager, and he was from Kentucky? Same thing with Jerry Thacker on the AIDS Commission. He got AIDS through a blood transfusion, and because he's a Christian, and he had made a comment that AIDS was a homosexual some kind of a homosexual epidemic or the gay disease or something.
Right.
He referred to it on his website. He wasn't even really disparaging gays. He was just referring to an article.
Right.
And he was, you know, he was completely, raked over the coals because...
It would be like saying that lung cancer is a smoker's disease.
Yes.
If any Christian who said that AIDS was decimating the homosexual community, you were railroaded just for stating something that was a medical obvious fact.
Well, just so it's clear, let me say it right now.
Yeah.
It is not a healthy lifestyle.
No, right. The homosexual lifestyle, right. Even if people didn't believe in God, if they only believed in nature... The Bible tells us that that's a lifestyle against nature itself.
But it ought to tell you something about the God who created that nature and what Romans, the book of Romans, tells us about the general revelation and how we have no excuse because we can observe, you know?
What a great point. David, in your book, now we have here on Bob and Yurt Live, we've got David Limbaugh, the author of Persecution, How Liberals Are Waging War Against Christianity. David, some of the cases you document are, well, for example, in New Jersey, I'm from Paterson, New Jersey, I was born in, a third grade teacher under pressure from the ACLU canceled a class trip to see a Broadway play called A Christmas Carol, which is a classic.
Yes, because there's some tenuous connection to Christianity in the play, although probably not much.
Yeah, right.
But just the slight connection and the fact that the school was going to it is deemed by the radical secularists as the establishment of a national church. That's how insane we've gotten in this country.
Mm.
And so she buckles under pressure from the ACLU and takes her class to the great train race instead.
Oh, great. And you mentioned that anti-Christian advocates are targeting Christianity. And, David, we mentioned on the show a few weeks back that Discover magazine, you know, the popular science magazine Discover, they got ads in the back of their magazine that mock the Christian symbol, the fish, the ichthys,
yep.
And they show it evolving legs. And it's clearly a mocking of Christianity. And I doubt that Discover magazine would mock Islam or any other religion.
You can be sure they wouldn't, because they would be denigrated in society, held up to scorn by the gods of political correctness. But that's the thing. There's a double standard applied to Christianity, both in the tolerance department. They demand tolerance from Christians, but show Christians no tolerance. But also in the religious freedom department, they demand a strict separation of so-called church and state when it comes to government intermingling with Christianity or remotely endorsing Christianity. But when it comes to endorsing any other religion or worldview, primarily the secular humanist worldview, New Ageism, and all the rest,
right.
David, they have no objection whatsoever, which
David,
proves they...
hold on one second. We've got a one-minute break. We'll be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
And we're back now, Bob and Yurt Live, and we've got on the line David Limbaugh with his new book. And David, you're a best-selling author. Your book, Absolute Power, was a great success. Is it too early, or could I ask you, how is Persecution doing in sales?
Well, thanks for asking. 4 weeks in a row, it's been on the New York Times bestseller list, so we're under our fifth week, and we'll know next week whether it made it.
And, of course, people can get it at any bookstore or online at barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. And what a fabulous book, because you're documenting the double standard and the acceptance of a bias against Christians and Christianity. David, I think you were on an interview. I only caught part of it this week on cable, and Susan Estrich was talking about your book, and I think you were on the interview also. Did that happen this last week?
Yeah, Hannity and Combs that's previous week, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's where it was. And I only saw about 40 seconds of it, but what I heard her say was that she didn't mind a bias against Christianity because Christians are the majority.
Exactly right. And Alan Dershowitz said the same thing, basically, when I debated him on Paul Azan. You know, that's really...
Hey, David, what if, you know, at the United Nations, Christians are not the majority?
Well, it's specious reasoning. Even if we were, it doesn't mean we can't be discriminated against, which we're laying down, which we are.
Well, right. But what if at the UN we managed to impose a bias against Muslims? Right. And we said, well, Muslims have more Muslims are represented at the UN than Christians, if we made that argument, or all other religious groups. And so we're going to be biased against them because we Christians are in the minority at the UN. Susan Estrich, all these liberals would be in an uproar.
Oh, exactly. So it's ridiculous. It's the whole specious reasoning. But it also points to the fact, if there is any merit to what they say, that Christians don't stand up and fight back. How is it that 2% of the homosexual lobby constitutes 2% of the population, and yet they're forcibly imposing their will on the rest of society? Tell me that. And tell me, if we're such a strong Christian nation, how it is, thanks, that we're murdering millions and millions of babies each year in the womb. How is that?
What a great point. And some of the examples you give of the bias against Christianity is, for example, a principal in New York City school system sent out a memo urging teachers to bring religious symbols to school, Jewish, Islamic, and Kwanzaa, whatever Kwanzaa is. Yeah, that was invented by a liberal American professor to be a traditional African holiday.
Yeah.
But references to Christianity were conspicuously absent. No Christian symbols welcome, but any other religious symbol is okay.
That's correct. And see the double standard on full display there. Nativity scenes rejected, and the symbols of other religions is promoted, even encouraged, by the secular culture and the education establishment and the county and state governments. It's pretty appalling when you think about it.
And then we had in Georgia the school district that was that would not, on their calendars, would not recognize Christmas. December 25th is Christmas. They can't even put that.
I wondered if somebody was going to ask me that. That is probably one of the most appalling examples in the whole book.
Right.
That we can't even recognize Christmas on a calendar in some circles in this country.
Right. So that if these same liberals who take these absurd anti-Christian stands, they would not argue the same thing in Muslim countries, that it's bad for a Muslim government's calendar to say Ramadan, or they wouldn't go onto an Indian reservation and tell the American Indians, the Native American Indians, that they can't indicate their religious beliefs, or even in Hawaii with the hula dance. They don't care that that's religious. They target the biblical Judeo-Christian tradition with their attacks.
Yes, which proves they have an agenda that they want to scrub it away and scrub it out of the public square and say that our Christian religious freedoms in the Constitution only apply in the privacy of our homes and in the confines of our churches, when in fact there is no such limitation. And we don't forfeit our right as Christians to religious liberty, the very freedom this nation was founded on, by virtue of walking in to a government property or a public school.
Mm-hmm. David Limbaugh, your book, Persecution, How Liberals Are Waging War Against Christianity, talks about a play in an elementary school in California called Cootie Shots. But before you explain that to the audience, let me tell you about a call I received from a listener in Oklahoma, a mother who was horrified. She was practically crying when she called in, and she said that her little boy went to kindergarten and came home the first day of school and said, "Mommy, the teacher kissed another teacher." And mom said, "Well, the teacher is probably married." And the little boy said, "No, Mommy, he kissed a man." And she just didn't believe it. And the next day, her son came in, and this is when she called me that night, and said, my son came home the second day in a row and said that his teacher, a man, in the classroom, kissed another man 2 days in a row.
Yeah, and you're intolerant for even bringing it up on this program.
Right, exactly. And I said to that mom, I said, right now, you're the luckiest public school teacher, public school mom in the whole country, because it only took you 2 days to realize that their goal is to indoctrinate your children away from Christian morality.
And let me just tell you, Charles F. Potter, one of the founders of the New York Humanist Society and who was a signatory of the first Humanist Manifesto, wrote that we can transform children in the idea of humanism. We have the kids 5 days a week.
Right.
And the theistic Sunday schools have them 1 day a week and not even as many kids.
Right.
They can't compete with us. And that's what he said in 1933. Look where we are today with deaf education, outcome-based education, fuzzy math, inventive spelling, comprehensive sex education where they suppress the abstinence message. We really are a new ageism, self-esteem movement. I could go on and on.
Of course.
But I find it appalling more than the fact that the secular humanists are promoting this stuff, that the parents are sitting back and letting it happen. Have you ever thought about how outrageous that is?
Well, that's a great point. And you could you tell about this Cootie Shots play?
The Cootie Shots play is there are various ones, but the one that I remember was the football player was a homosexual or something, and there I can't remember because there's so many examples in this book, but something about homosexuality is okay, and it's okay to have feelings for a person of the opposite sex.
They had a female character, and this play was for elementary school.
Yes, yes.
And the girl fell in love with a princess instead of a prince.
Here you go, yes.
Yeah. And you know what, David, now I'm a conservative Christian. I pastor a church called Denver Bible Church, been on the radio for 12 years, five nights a week. And this might disturb you a little bit, but I'd like to make an observation. On the homosexual issue, it's really the Christian community that's confused. Because for 3,500 years, homosexuality was a crime. And now in the last few decades, even our Christian leaders have agreed to legitimize homosexuality so that today we say, our Christian leaders say, well, homosexuality should be legal, but then we don't know how to treat homosexuals now that we've legitimized them, saying they should be legal. So if they are legal, then, well, shouldn't they be allowed to teach kids in school? And if they teach, of course, they're going to teach their worldview. So we're in this quandary of we've legalized something that for 3,500 years has been a crime, and now we're upset that we agreed that it should be legalized.
Yes, it's a radical individualism that has permeated our culture, which says that there can be no collective rights of the majority and that they can't pass laws pertaining to morality. Of course, all of our legal system is based on morality, and especially the criminal system.
Right.
It always has been based on the morality.
Yeah.
And this idea that we can't legislate morality is just another canard of the left.
Right. The tolerance is just a new intolerance. It used to be that we were intolerant, at least socially, publicly, of sexual immorality, shedding innocent blood, stealing. And now we're tolerant of all those liberal values and issues, and we're intolerant of Judeo-Christian morality.
Yeah, but also, as the Orwellian speak regarding the word tolerance, Josh McDowell talks about it in his book, The New Tolerance, where they don't just, the secularists and the homosexual lobby don't just want you to treat them civilly and with respect. They demand that you accept their ideas as equally valid.
Mm.
Well, you see, there's a problem with that. I'd go farther than Josh McDowell did. If you accept their ideas as equally valid and they're 180 out of phase with yours, then that means you have to reject your own ideas because you can't square your ideas and your conscience as a Christian with those views. So you really have to abandon your own conscience in order to be labeled as tolerant. Think about that.
Yeah, the only good Christian is a bad Christian.
And
I think
that's good.
Yeah,
a silent one.
Yeah, David, we've been doing this here at Bob and Yurt Live for, like I said, 12 years, five nights a week. And when we look at the battle, if you go to a dinner party and you bring up Buddha or Muhammad or the American Indian Great Spirit, nobody's going to get upset. Nobody's going to start sweating, get angry, storm out of the party. But if you bring up Jesus Christ, all bets are off.
And that's right.
People get upset. And I do think there is a reason for the double standard. And I think if you look at the religions of the world, even the Old Testament, which is part of the Bible, the Word of God, there was no real focus on the judgment of God and eternal punishment in hell. The New Testament, with the four Gospels, Jesus Christ is the one who brought that message to the world that there is a judgment day, even though the Old Testament is the Word of God and Christ came to fulfill it. It's Jesus who said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And he offended people because he talked about being judged as in opposition to God. And I think that the world naturally gets offended at Jesus Christ, and so we're just seeing the evidence that he is the dividing line.
And he said he would divide. The truth divides. He is the truth. And, you know, that is a very interesting point, and I make that in my book that Phil Donahue, you know, the liberal TV commentator for years, TV host, did some specials on do you really have to believe in Jesus to get to heaven? And he, of course, mockingly and contemptuously denigrated that concept. And I really thought long and hard about this reason. One reason, we're impugned by the rest of society and feared is we represent a threat to the imposition of their values, as James Dobson says in my final chapter in the book where I interview six Christian leaders, Dobson, Kennedy, Ravi Zacharias, and others. But I think there is, you're onto something, and it's something, I don't even remember if I said this in my book. I was thinking it. I do a lot of opinionating, editorializing in my book. I keep to the facts. I really do, because I wanted to present a compelling case. But I've written about this in columns. Anyway, I'm trying to remember if I put it in the book. But your point, and I want to affirm it, is that they think that we are so judgmental because we subscribe to this notion that non-believers may be eternally damned. But my point is this. I've always been bothered by that as a skeptic before I became a Christian.
Right.
I still wish that everybody could be saved, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not up to me.
David,
mad at Christians, and all we're doing is saying the Bible says it, and we happen to believe the Bible.
Right.
We're not judging. It's Christ that's judging.
Well, hey, David, the notion that, you know, if a man tried to force a woman to love him, or kidnapped a woman and said, you're going to live with me, that's a sick and despicable act. And God is not an unhealthy God. And he offers his love to mankind. And those who respond will live with him forever. And those who say to God, I don't want you, I don't want your love, then God gives them the opportunity to live on their own without him. And it just so happens that we call that place hell. Because,
but by the way, I'm not arguing against that. I'm just telling you,
I understand
why it bothers people, because it used to bother me.
Yeah, I understand that. And if God allowed, let's say, Hillary Clinton and the feminist into heaven, well, they would still hate God in heaven, and they would turn heaven into hell. Wherever they lived would be hell because they don't want God. And so God is giving them what they want. It's not that God could be nicer. If God was nicer and let all the people who hated him into heaven, they would turn heaven into what? The Soviet Union?
Well, I have no idea whether Hillary Clinton is a Christian, so I don't want to get into that.
All right. Well,
and examining somebody's heart. But I do know that she's definitely a secular liberal in terms of her approach to issues, and they are certainly part of the war that is being conducted on against Christianity.
All right. Hey, David, I want to thank you so very much for tuning into the for calling in and letting us interview you. Your book, What's Happening in America, is the left-wing books and the right-wing books are both becoming bestsellers, which is evidence of this.
It is. The culture war, isn't it?
Yeah, the culture war, the spiritual battle. Hey, real quick, David, I want you to know that, of course, we care about your brother, and we're praying for him to do well.
I appreciate that very much. I ask you to continue to do so.
We will. About 12 years ago, was it? Rush had just come into Denver on the radio, and there was a Christian man, a blind man, Paul Stebbins, who used to do the sound for Wheel of Fortune. And he and his mother bought a radio station here, KNUS, and they're friends of mine. They are the ones who put Rush on in Denver. And back then, I went to every advertising agency in the city, there's quite a few, and said, Rush is getting the best ratings in town, and advertising is cheap. And, you know, because he espoused some conservative Christian views, they would not touch him.
Is that right?
No matter what the price was. Now, that was 12 years ago, and obviously he's had major national advertisers, but there was this obvious bias against your brother because he was, for example, against abortion.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it, and it goes on. And, you know, one thing you said that I wanted to touch on was that, and I do humbly appreciate your prayers for Rush, but one thing that you hit on was that we are in a spiritual war. But I just want to encourage Christians to understand that we're also in a material war and a physical war, and God put us here for
That's
a purpose.
Right.
He could have zapped us straight into the spiritual reality. And when he put us here, he gave us a great commission, and that is to preach the gospel to the four corners of the earth. And I would just respectfully submit to your listeners that we're not going to be able to do that and fulfill that commission and help evangelize other kids, I mean other people, if we don't have political freedom as well. So we have to operate on the political level.
Amen.
Recognizing and respecting God's sovereignty all the while, of course.
Well, amen. We can't be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good.
And right.
David, in my own life, and it's painful to say that I had a severe addiction to pornography for years, and it virtually destroyed my life and my family. And what I found was there are ways to get over addiction to replace one problem with another, but ultimately it was my relationship with God, developing that, and as your relationship with God grows, these temptations and struggles begin to weaken.
Yeah, that's right, and we need to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. I don't do it as much as I ought to, especially when I'm busy, and you have to do that because, as my pastor says, if you don't, you begin to leak. We Christians leak. I think that's a funny way of describing it.
That's great.
In other words, you know, because you have to exercise spiritual disciplines. You're saved by faith alone, but it takes a little discipline to empower yourself with the Holy Spirit, I think.
Well, this New Testament concept of the flesh, this constant tendency to sin, is such a parallel to gravity. It's amazing if you compare the two. Gravity is constantly pulling us downward, and the moment you stop moving toward God, you start falling backward.
That's the point, isn't it? I mean, there's no stasis. There is some movement either way.
So that's what we pray for your brother and for David, for you, for your whole life's work and ministry, that we're thrilled that you're in the battle with us. God bless
Thank you,
David.
Thanks for having me. You too. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. David Limbaugh, author of Persecution, How Liberals Are Waging War Against Christianity. You can get this book anywhere. It's David is second time around now, best-selling author. And it's part of the war. Now, you might want to think about this. It's part of the war just to buy the books and read them. Because the liberal books that mock God, promote evolution, they become bestsellers, of course, and mock conservative Christians. But then the right-wing Christian books, as they sell, they get on bookshelves, they get on bestsellers list, and people who are maybe in the middle or moderates or unsure about their position, what they think about God and Christianity, they buy the books. And to have somebody like David Limbaugh get the attention of, well, hundreds of thousands of people through his books, and no doubt approaching millions, and it could be a tool to reach more people. Just like the things you do in your life are a tool, this book is a tool. And so I recommend buying the book, having it in your library, of course, reading it, even if you're just going to browse through it and glean. And lend it to a friend strategically, like my mother lends out our Bible study materials and videos. say an unbeliever, and she has a copy of Mount Moriah, our video on the resurrection of Jesus. And she says, well, I'd like to lend you this video, but I really need it back by Monday. Could you watch it by Monday? That is so brilliant. Because you lend somebody something and it, you know, they never look at it. And 4 months later, they can't find it. And so it's just the bottom line. And this is obviously not a paid endorsement, but I'm encouraging you to go ahead, go out and get David Limbaugh's book, Persecution. David is obviously a strong Bible-believing Christian, and Rush is struggling right now, and our prayers are for him and with him. But Rush could use the influence of his brother. He could use it. And so we're just thrilled that David Limbaugh's out there fighting the battle and on the same side that we are on, and that's the side of Jesus Christ. Okay. All right. What else do we have now? So you might have noticed we omitted a couple commercial breaks, and we did that to respect David Limbaugh's time. We only had a half hour with him. So and that's fine. We're thrilled to do that because Bob and Yurt Live is not on the air to sell products. That's not why we do this. We're on the air to fight the battle. And we do sell materials primarily to get the word out, to get the teaching out, but then also to provide the revenue to keep this show on the air. Hey, more from his book, Persecution. In 2001, in Kentucky, the library, a public library in Logan County, they fired an employee, Kimberly Draper, because she had a necklace on and the necklace had a cross. And that was it. She was wearing a cross. You know how many millions of people wear crosses? How about actresses who are not Christians in any way, shape, or form, and they wear a cross? Right? And the library said, well, we had to fire her out of respect for the religious diversity of our patrons. Well, why not teach those patrons tolerance? If a patron said, I object to that woman wearing a Islamic crescent, say, well, she's not shoving the crescent down your throat. She's just wearing it, so you could probably tolerate it. Or if she's wearing a cross, well, I come to this library to borrow books, and I object to that woman wearing a cross. Probably no patron ever said anything anyway. But if they did, you just teach them tolerance. And you say, sir, you're here to borrow a book, not to control others. And it's really okay for her to wear a cross if she wants to. And if they're so concerned that they don't want to offend the religious diversity of any of their patrons, then how about Christians and creationists? How about when we're offended when they prominently display their homo books? How about that? That offends us. Do you think they care? How about when we're offended when they have books for little kitties telling the little kitties they've evolved from slime and that they're related to apes and monkeys? And then those kids believe that they're just animals and then they go on to act like animals, to reproduce like animals, to kill others like animals kill their own species and others, to kill children, like some animals eat their young. And then the liberals are surprised and they say, well, why are the young people acting this way? And so that offends us. You think they're going to kick all those books out of the library because it offends conservative Christians? Of course not. You know, U.S. Congressman Tom DeLay talked about the colleges and the universities. Now, he's from Texas. Is that right? Is he from Texas? Yeah, I think so. And he was speaking about, well, at least I forget where he's from, but he was in Houston, Texas, and he was asked about the universities and how hostile they are to Christianity. And he's quoted in David Limbaugh's book on page 187 saying, well, an immediate remedy is don't send your kids to these universities. And he named two, Baylor University That's at Waco. Is that at Waco? Baylor University? And Texas A&M. And he said, don't send your kids to those universities. And that's a good point, if you can help it. I mean, your kid might want to go into a profession where he really needs the accreditation from one of these universities that are hostile to Christianity. And so your kid might not have any choice in the matter. But as a general rule, let's shun those universities that are hostile to Christianity and not let our monies go there. All right. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. I've wanted to talk about, you know, David Limbaugh, I think, first mentioned abortion and the killing of unborn children in that interview. And there's a woman in California this past month that was killed or died from an abortion. Now, this was supposedly, this is something even safer than abortion, an abortion procedure. This was the RU486 pill. You've heard of that? That's the abortion pill. When you're early in your pregnancy, you can take RU486. And have you ever heard that expression? If you're going to destroy something, you 86 it, kill it. If you have a program and you're going to end it, you 86 it. Have you ever heard that? Just 86 it. And so the name of this abortion pill is RU486ing babies. RU486ing babies. Well, the Alameda County in California, this is in the Bay Area outside of San Francisco. This article is from the San Francisco Chronicle. The Alameda County Coroner's Office is investigating the case of an 18-year-old girl who died days after taking the abortion pill RU486. Her father told the San Francisco Chronicle that his 18-year-old daughter had gotten a prescription for RU486 at a Planned Parenthood office to end her 7-week pregnancy. And Planned Parenthood issued a statement saying it was working with the young woman's family to look into the cause of death. And here's part of their statement. A patient who recently sought health care services at a Planned Parenthood center died yesterday at a hospital in Pleasanton, said Diane Harrison, chief executive officer and president of Planned Parenthood Golden Gate. The cause of death is unknown at this time. We extend our deepest sympathy to the family. We had only wanted to kill their grandchild, not their child. Oh, sorry. I must have misread that. Well, we're going to go to a break and then come back. And if you don't or can't get in on this show, maybe you want to call in on a show in the next program or two and give me your feedback. Let's do a debriefing about the interview with David Limbaugh. What do you think of him, that family, Rush, and the battle we're all in after this? With a live commercial break, hey, the thing that people appreciate most about our materials is the Bible study albums. And if you are interested in studying the Bible, we recommend you check out, and I'll give you a few that you might want to start with. One of these, The Plot. It's a Bible study album. You could get it on MP3, CD-ROM, or an audio tape. And it's an overview of the whole Bible, showing that the Bible's overview is the key to its details. And then we've got Predestination and Free Will, all about God, the nature of God, time, the future. What is heaven going to be like? What are we human beings like? What are we really like? Is everything predestined? Are some things predestined? Do we have free will or not? So fascinating. And then The Plot. I'm sorry, I said The Plot. Then The Tree. the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, that's where it all started, in the Garden of Eden. And why is it called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why is that the name of the tree that started all this battle in the first place? Well, I promise you, you will love the Tree album. You will just be tickled pink. And if not, we have a money-back guarantee. These albums are $32.95 plus shipping and handling. Now, if you subscribe to our monthly Bible study album, you get one album mailed to you every month for $34.95. And each month you sign up and you could, for example, give a credit card number, and then once a month you get an album in the mail. And if you love it, you let it keep going. If you don't love it, if you want your money back on an album, you get a 30-day money-back guarantee. So give us a call. It helps Bob and Aaron Live keep fighting, and it'll help you too. one 800 8 yards 1-800-836-9278. Now, this 18-year-old girl in California who's dead, Holly Patterson, if David Limbaugh, if Bob Enyart, if D. James Kennedy, some of these people, if we had control of the law of the land, well, then what would be different is that sexual immorality would take its former status as criminal behavior, and abortion would be murder, and it wouldn't be legal to kill unborn children. And as a result of those two things, almost certainly, not certainly, but almost certainly, Holly Patterson would not have become pregnant in the first place, because there would be a stigma against sex outside of marriage. And so we've seen children being born to unwed mothers become epidemic in this country. So much so that in some subcultures, for example, among black babies who are born in America, what, about 80% are born to unwed mothers? About 4 out of 5. That's devastating to young black children. And liberals who don't care about that or think that's fine, they are condemning young blacks, because the number one risk factor of whether a child will grow up to have a good life or be get involved in crime, become an alcoholic, a drug addict, be suicidal, the number one factor, demographic key, is whether the child is conceived with a mom and a dad who are married. That's the number one factor. So it's the Christians who, the Bible-believing Christians, not the phony Christians like the United Methodists, for example, but the Bible-believing Christians who have the answers, who know the truth, who have the love and compassion for their neighbors to actually make a difference and not do something that actually makes people's lot in life worse off. So this girl, Holly Patterson, is dead. She's dead right now. Her family is suffering, and it's because of Planned Parenthood. It's because of liberals. It's because of this long war against God, and she's a victim. Her father, Holly's father, said that on Sunday that week, Holly was crying and crying, and she told me she was having cramps, that she had a bad period. See, she was lying, right? And he's a home builder, and he learned of the pregnancy only hours before his daughter died. Of course, he might have been able to at least get her help earlier. He may have been more clear thinking and more aware that, hey, this isn't just cramps, right? She lied to him. And Planned Parenthood, now she's 18. Planned Parenthood does this with minors. They do abortions on minors without the parents even knowing they're undergoing an invasive procedure. and a student in a public school, they can't even get an aspirin without the parent's knowledge. But if it's an abortion, oh, no problem. We'll sneak you out of school in the middle of the day so your parents don't even know you've gone to a hospital or an abortion clinic. And then you can have your abortion, and we'll make sure that you're back in school before school ends so that your parents will have no idea. And that's what liberals do. Why do they do that? It's because they hate God. Why do liberals do that? It's because they hate God. That's why they do it. So her dad, Monty Patterson, said on Sunday, Holly was crying and crying, and she told me she was having cramps, and he only learned of her pregnancy hours before she died. Between Sunday and Wednesday, Holly was bleeding severely. She was in acute pain, unable to walk. Her father said that he was describing her condition, and her boyfriend rushed her late Sunday to Valley Care Medical Center in Pleasanton, California, and she was given painkillers and released. How's that? Given painkillers and released. It's just extraordinary. Now, I don't know, did she tell the hospital she had just taken RU486? She may have been ashamed because it's a natural reaction that women are ashamed that they killed their own babies. She went back into the hospital in the middle of the night Wednesday, and she died 2 o'clock the next afternoon. The doctor told me, this is the dad, Monty, the doctor told me she had not aborted all of the fetus and she had fragments left in her. And she had a massive systemic infection and went into septic shock. Now, she hadn't aborted all the fetus. She had fragments. Let me describe to you what the fragments probably were. You could call them fragments, or you could call them legs, arms, face. You could call those fragments, and that's probably part of what it was. And, of course, even with surgical abortions, there have been many times when there have been parts of the baby left in the mother. And so the mother goes home and has cramps and goes into the bathroom and becomes horrified to pass. And she looks in the toilet and there's a fully formed leg with a leg, the upper leg, the thigh, the lower leg, the calf, the heel, the foot, the toes. There's a little baby's foot that she just passed. And then she comes face to face with part of her baby that she just paid Planned Parenthood to kill. And how is that for the mother's mental health? Because that's the thing about truth. You know, the light of day exposes truth. It shows the truth. And abortionists like to do what they do in the dark, and they don't want the pictures shown to the public. And even people who claim to be Christians and pro-life, some of them may be. And they get angry at Christian activists who show the pictures in the light of day of what people are doing to babies. And you get mad at it? You have your nerve. Children are being killed, and you don't want the discomfort of seeing it? You fool. What fools we Christians have become. And so Christians will exert more energy condemning the Christians who are fighting full-time to try to stop abortion. Christians exert more energy condemning other Christians than they exert trying to stop abortion. How's that? Hypocrites. It's despicable. So this girl is dead, and she's dead because of the spiritual battle. And David Limbaugh was right to point out, hey, it's not just a spiritual battle. It takes place in the physical realm. It takes place in the laws of the land. When the laws of the land say it's legal to kill your baby, millions will suffer, and they do suffer. How about since we legalized abortion, breast cancer has increased in this country by 40% since 1973. 40%. You know, that affects millions of women. And now, you know what they're finding out now? That children who get cancer. Now, listen to this. This is a study that was done in Europe. It was just reported this past week or so in Time magazine. Children who get cancer in Europe, their mothers, 95% of them had breast cancer. 95% of the children who get cancer have mothers who had breast cancer. You know what that tells us? That when a woman has an abortion, not only does she increase her chances of getting breast cancer, but she dramatically increases her child's chances, a future child's chances of getting cancer. Right? 95% of children who have cancer had mothers who had cancer, and they were actually shocked at those statistics. 95%. So there are consequences for our actions. We promote homosexuality and we destroy the family. That's another point David Limbaugh was right on about. They say, we just want you to accept our views, to respect our views. You can't respect perversion without giving up on your morality. You cannot respect perversion without giving up on your condemnation of perversion. To respect perversion, to respect immorality, when somebody gets injured in war or they get killed in war, the casualty. If you're going to respect immorality, the casualty is your moral view. Your view of morality is the casualty. It's lost when you're convinced to respect perversion. So why does our society condemn the traditional family? And by the way, it does. You're aware of that, right? The media, universities, they condemn the traditional family of a mother and father and a handful of kids. That's condemned. Have more than 1.2 kids and you'll get the evil eye from people in the grocery store. Go into the store with 5 or 6 kids and you'll be condemned just for having kids. And in the media, they don't mention Ozzie and Harriet, that movie, the TV show from the 50s with a mom and a dad and a couple kids. They don't mention that program except to mock it. And what they mock about it is that it featured a mother and a father and a couple of nice kids. That's what they mock about it. Why does our culture mock the traditional family? Because they want to make perversion look good. And if you put perversion up against a healthy family, it doesn't look so good. So you have to mock the traditional family to sell your sick view of the world and of morality and of society and of religion and of God. So that's what Bob Inert Live is all about. It was an honor to have David Limbaugh on the show today. It really was. And I encourage you to go on and get his book, Persecution. I think you'll love it. For now, this is Bob Inert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.